let my mouth be full of your praise. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Benevolent, merciful God, when we are empty, fill us. When we are weak in faith, strengthen us. When we are cold in love, warm us. That with fervor we may love our neighbors and serve them for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
A reading from Habakkuk, the oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not listen, or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law became slack, and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous, therefore judgment comes forth perverted. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come, it will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 37 responsively. Do not be provoked by evildoers. Do not be jealous of those who do wrong.
For they shall soon wither like the grass, and like the green grass, they wither.
Put your trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and find safe pasture.
Take delight in the Lord, who shall give you your heart's desire.
Commit your way to the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord, and see what God will do.
The Lord will make your vindication as clear as the light, and the justice of your
sun. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently. Do not be provoked by the one who prospers, the one who succeeds in evil schemes. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord shall possess the land.
Glory to God, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever will be.
Amen. A reading from 2 Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self discipline. Do not be ashamed then of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearance of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. And for this reason, I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust. And I am sure that he is able to guard until that day when I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
It seems like we walked in on the middle of a conversation. What's going on with the disciples and with Jesus that they felt the need at this point to ask for more faith? What had Jesus been talking about right before they make this request, increase our faith? Well, I had to turn the page back in Luke's gospel and read the verses prior to the verses that are given for our lesson today, so I would know what the apostles, where they were coming from. And as I read that, it became very clear why they felt the need for an increase in faith. Jesus had just asked the disciples to do something that they thought was impossible, that they knew they simply could not do. Jesus said, "Be on your guard. If another disciple sins against you, you must rebuke the offender, and if there is repentance, you must forgive. And if the same person sins against you 7 times in one day and turns back to you 7 times and says, 'I repent,' you must forgive." Is it any wonder that the disciples were begging for an increase in faith? Forgive? seven times? Forgiveness is hard. Seven times, maybe in a lifetime, or seven times in a year, but seven times the same person on the same day? I'm right there with them. Increase my faith. How do you do that? The disciples were willing to do the ordinary and even the extraordinary in following Jesus. They gave up their homes, their jobs, their families. They followed Jesus. They gave up the human respect that came from family and friends in order to travel with this itinerant preacher and follow his way. But forgive and forgive and keep on forgiving. Now they knew that they couldn't do that. Not under their own power. That's impossible. So they asked Jesus for that extra strength for what they needed, what they knew that they couldn't do on their own. Maybe he would give them some simple exercises for gaining that kind of strength. You know, a step-by-step plan to increase your faith. Kind of like one of those 21 days to flatter abs or whatever. You know, just do this every day and then you'll have it. But that's not the answer that Jesus gave. Jesus didn't give them a from here to here kind of plan. They knew that they couldn't do it on their own, so they needed his help. And isn't it, I think forgiveness is a hard thing. And yet, it's very clear that this is what Jesus is asking. If a person repents seven times even on the same day, seven times we are to look at that person with the eyes of Jesus Christ and see that person as our brother, our sister. We are to accept the apology and forgive them. We are to look at them as God looks at them, as a person who has wronged and now a person who has been forgiven, just like we are, forgiven, redeemed children of God, a sinner, just like you and I. Forgiveness isn't about saying that the past never happened. It's more about the present and the future than it is about the past. It's about seeing the present in a new light and seeing the future with the hope of the resurrection, a hope that someday this world will be as God created it to be. It's about seeing ourselves as brothers and sisters, seeing ourselves as members of that same family of God. That said, forgiveness is still not an easy thing. Is it any wonder that the disciples begged for an increase in faith? I'm right there with them. Jesus, increase my faith. It's hard to forgive, especially with that little part when Jesus says, and if the same person comes seven times in one day, I can just hear the moms of teenagers saying, yeah, right. Seven times, I told you to do it. Okay, you said yes. Seven times in one day? This must be good news for kids. It's hard news for parents. Actually, it's hard news for all of us as Christians. And the answer that Jesus gives, the response, is surprising. He says, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this tree, uproot yourself, walk across the street, and get planted in the sea and grow there, and that tree would obey you if you had faith the size of a mustard seed. We're looking for a simple plan to increase our faith, and we get this outlandish image. Trees can't grow in the sea. And yet Jesus says, if you had this much faith, that could happen. You get it? Jesus is using this outlandish image because it isn't something that we can do. Faith isn't about, or forgiveness isn't about what we can do. It's about what God can do. It's about what God has already done. Mulberry trees can't grow in the sea. It isn't something that we can do. Faith is a gift. It's all a gift, and it has already been given to you. In Greek, there's this conditional phrase, a conditional understanding. So when Jesus says to the disciples, if you had faith, you could. If we were reading this in Greek, we would say, if you have faith, and you do, you could. So it's this conditional phrase that's already there, that Jesus isn't saying, go ahead and try to find that faith. He's saying, if you could afford it, you could do it. And you know you're sitting on the money. So it's not a try to get this faith. It's you already have this faith. I have a friend who's a brain expert and on use of your brain. And he says that most people use less than 10% of their brain through their whole life. 10%. That we've got this ability that we just never get to. I wonder what percent of our faith we use. And Jesus says if you use only this much of it, you could do all of these marvelous things. Well, to be honest with you, I don't think we really want more faith. More faith would get us to stop doing the sinful things that we kind of like doing. More faith would lead us to be forgiving of those people who ask our forgiveness, and we don't really want to forgive those wretched people anyway. More faith would call us to be like the slave at the story at the end of our lesson today. We would become more dutiful servants of God. We would go about our duties more willingly, more dutiful about attending Sunday worship, more dutiful about making contributions of our time and our money to the church and to the community, more dutiful about our spiritual growth, Bible studies, daily devotions, more dutiful about sharing our time on committees and church activities, more dutiful about being a dutiful servant, without complaint, without grumbling. And who wants to do that? More caring about the poor, more carefully, closely following in the footsteps of Jesus, and you know where his footsteps took him, to the cross. Do we want more faith? Do we want to be more like Jesus? I'm not sure we really do. Maybe we want more faith for a specific need, to believe that a family or friend would be healed, to believe that, to have faith that I will find a good job or a new house, or to have faith that gives a peace and an assurance of eternal life. But do we really want more faith that would make us more like Jesus in giving and in forgiving and in loving? Do we want more faith? I read a contemporary author who said that most Christians want to be inoculated with Christianity. You know, just enough to keep you from getting the real thing. We want a little bit so we can say we're Christian. But do we want more that we would really be Christian. I had a friend in college, she was one of my roommates, and she decided to join a Christian commune. Now, this was in the 70s, and she had found this group of people who were living together in the inner city with a real outreach to the poor, and so she decided that's what she was going to do. And her parents were aghast. We raised our daughter to be a Christian, not a fanatic. If God hears your prayer and answers your request, increase my faith, you might end up being a fanatic. A fanatic about not sinning. A fanatic about forgiving. A fanatic about living as a dutiful servant of God. If you join the disciples in their call, increase our faith, watch out. Because you've already been given that faith. You already have that gift of faith in your heart. That amazing grace of God has already been given to you. We need only to open our hearts to that gift. Open our hearts enough to live as the beloved children of God that we are. May your faith increase.